8, OK 7. Tower 5-0, take this call. Jefferson and Lincoln, traffic accident. Ambulance follow-up. Code 3, 6:03 p.m.
5-6 to Control 1, reporting in service. Starting mileage 9835, 9835.
1-5-6, mileage 9835, 6:04 p.m. Unit 5-6 reporting in service on the night watch.
This is Don Reed, a police recorder. Right now, you're riding in Detective Unit 5-6, and that was Sergeant Ron Perkins just reporting us in service on the night watch. While you're with us tonight, remember, I'm recording this as it happens, and the people you meet are not actors. You see, this is it. This is real. This is Night Watch. Night Watch. The actual on-the-scene report of your police force in action. There are no actors. There is no script. Every voice, every sound is authentic. The investigations are recorded as they actually occur. Night Watch. Presented with the cooperation of the Police Department of Culver City, California. W.N. Hildebrand, Chief. We switch you now to Detective Unit 5-6, somewhere in the field, and to police recorder Don Reed.
5-3 clear, KMA 394.
5-6 to 1, we're at Overland and Washington Place. We've got a 214 here in front of the bar. Will you send a uniform unit down here, code 2?
1-5-6, 10-4, car 5-0 at Overland and Washington Place, 214 in the street. Meet Detective Unit 5-6, code 2.
Well, we have a 214 fight going just across the street in front of a bar.
5-2 to Control 1, we're right on top of this 214 call. Do you want us to take it? Control 1-5-2, 10-4, car 5-0 cancel, 5-2 will handle.
Things are moving very fast. We're right in the middle of the highway waiting for a break in the traffic. Now we got it, swinging around. We have a clear shot here now, heading back. That uniform car that just radioed in is pulling up to the curb. We're swinging in behind. Here's the quick picture. Two men, two women pushing each other around. Things are getting a little rough right here. The uniformed officer, Al Arnold, and his partner wading into the argument. We're in plain clothes. Psychologically, it's best for the uniformed boys to handle. We'll stand by just in case things get out of hand.
No, you won't.
I will.
No, you won't.
Please, I will. Don't. I won't take that from
please
anybody.
Please don't. Now, come on. Now. You'll be over tomorrow, please.
Just hold everything, will you? What's trouble?
He just called me scum.
No.
He said I was more than a snake.
Well,
I have worked in this bar for 5 years.
Well, that's what hurts your pride. See?
And
that's
I have never...
You're coming back now, dear. What?
Look, you know what you're mad at?
And he got me fired from working.
You didn't get fired, I'll bet you.
I'll Julie. Sign a complaint, okay?
No. You know you'll be working here next week.
All right, I'll sign a complaint just because I won't put up with him.
You've had more insults than these guys ever gave you.
Not
you
that
ever. Never.
Whoa. Let's break this up. Now, we're not going to have the argument aside. Which one of you called her the name?
Well, you've been
Julie,
drinking, you know that.
I have not.
I'll bet you have. I'll take a sobriety test against you anytime.
All right.
Wait a minute.
Because I fought
her. Why get her mad, though? Don't get anybody mad.
You never bought me a drink in your life, and you know it.
What's the difference?
Why make a statement?
May I ask you a question? What have you got to do with the argument?
Nothing.
Well, play. It's my buddy.
Well, that don't enter the thing. The argument's between the young lady and this fella. Now, I just advise you to keep out of it. Now, take some advice. And you too, fella.
Will you please keep quiet?
We'll try to settle this without
any
help.
Get him over here.
Ask the policeman here what I said.
Well, I'm not asking the policeman. I'm asking you.
Well, yeah, I said a bad name. I apologize. She
did you apologize
called me.
To her?
Yes, I did.
And then what did you walk up to the bar and say to me?
About what?
You said that I was lower than scum, a snake.
After what you said to me, did I not apologize to you? Now, you tell the truth, I'll tell the truth.
I did.
Did I apologize to you before you said it to me? I'm sorry. I apologize to you. I'm sorry for it. I'm still sorry for it. I didn't mean to say it.
I'm sorry. All together, she walked out here.
She's just mad tonight.
This is Control 1 is calling us on the radio.
Okay.
Let's get over to our car. We're just glancing back. The uniformed officers have settled this little discussion. The man is heading north and the woman south. That takes care of that.
5-6, we were out of the car. Go ahead.
1-5-6, are you clear?
5-6, roger.
Control 1-5-6, Unit 5-3 has been dispatched to 2931 Ingersoll Place to see the woman about a possible assault. This is near your present location. Will you follow up?
5-6-1, roger. You might tell 5-3 we'll be there in a couple of minutes.
1-5-3, Detective Unit 5-6, rolling.
Well, this seems to be our night for assaults. Thinking of that woman heading south, it'd be interesting to know what she called that fellow. On second thought, maybe we better skip it. When we get through this next signal and skip over a couple of side streets, we'll be there. Apparently, there isn't a rush on this call, or Control 1 would have given us a code. That is, something like Code 2, roll with your red light, or Code 3, hit that siren. Anyway, apparently there's not too much rush, but it should be right up here about the next block. Can't be too far ahead. In fact, here comes our uniform car from the opposite direction. See, there's spotlight searching out the numbers along the street. Apparently is up here just a couple hundred yards. That's Unit 5-3 up there that's stopped. And we're going to pull right in front of them. Here we are. The crew, Officers Good and Cameron, are going to investigate the trouble. It's a small bungalow, middle-aged man and woman waiting for us. Man holding his face.
I was watering.
Let's see what the reason for this is.
So he come in the store. We were watching television. He knocked at the door. My husband opened the door. And his wife come in. They had both been drinking. And my husband, he said something about, why do you pick on my wife every time she's in the yard? And when he did, he up and slapped my husband across the mouth.
Well, did you explain it?
I did, right
so
here.
So you asked us all to be
I
wrong.
Absolutely did.
Well, here's the way it was.
And then I said, that settles it. There's no more trouble with you, and I got faced.
They both came in here, and he was arguing, and I said, well, why do you pick on my wife all the time? Why don't you come and tell me, see? He just took his hand right across the face here.
Did he knock any teeth?
No. He just left it just
But, you know, it's not that.
There's no reason. I don't know why. I said, why did you pick on her?
Every time she was out here, he picks on her, you know?
Do you want to sign a complaint against this person, sir?
Yeah, sign it and have on file up there. And the next time you come
here, it's not a matter of being on file. It's a matter of if you sign a complaint against him, he'll be served with a warrant and put in jail.
If there's some way we can have him know to let us, he even come over here one time drunk, him and her, and they call me dirty names.
Well, I'll tell you, we can advise this person on the seriousness of it, of the assault. And chances are he'll never try this again. But if you want to sign a complaint against this person, you can sign it in the district attorney's office, and chances are the warrant will be served, and this man will be put in jail and tried.
Well, when can you tell
we'll
him?
Talk
leave
to him
me
right
alone.
Away if you want it that way. Yes, ma'am.
If you
don't want to press charges, then we'll just make a verbal advisement on this now.
That's right. I want him to know that if he don't leave me alone, I am going to take action. I've told him that, but he don't seem to heed it.
Well, we'll have a talk. For no reason, he had over this back neither.
Well, see, now you're in a position now where you can go up, sign a complaint against him for assault.
And we don't want no problem. We understand. We live here. We stay in our own place. We keep our dogs.
That's
why
I told him.
Other people
we don't
dogs.
Bother you. Why do you bother us?
Okay. He's in the back there.
If anything else like this ever happens, I want you to give us a call. And we'll
we will. I intend to do
it. We'll let him know now that it's a serious matter when he goes around.
Well, thank you.
Okay,
thank
you bet.
Very much.
Victim doesn't wish to sign a complaint, so we'll just advise the other couple.
Get out.
Two very large Great Dane dogs blocking the door.
Wait a minute, I got too many dogs.
Gosh, I've seen ponies smaller than these fellas.
Back, Jack.
Here are the two participants in the quarrel. Man and wife, both middle-aged, 50s, heavy set. Each armed with a bottle of beer. The woman struggling with one dog. The other is in the process of bowling me over. Well, the woman and one officer is wrestling one of the dogs, a big fella. The other is trying very playfully to remove my coat sleeve with my arm in it. Down, boy. It's every man for himself. Trying to get him in the bedroom. Well, now let's see what it's all about.
Is your husband the gentleman that struck your neighbor next door?
No, not that I know of.
problem. That is a situation. We got a call in here and assault. Listen, you want to come back here, sir? We're talking to you. Did you go over next door here and hit this man across the face with the back of your hand?
I did not.
Well, no, here's the score.
No,
these people are ready to sign a complaint against him unless you start staying in your own yard and running along. Understand?
I understand.
You're not supposed to go into someone else's house, especially when you've been drinking, and go up and smack a guy across the face. That's a good way to end up.
Are you accusing me of that, sir?
I'm telling you what the gentleman next door told us. He happens to have a witness to the fact that it happened.
His wife. We were in the house, yes.
What happened tonight?
Well, my husband rang the doorbell. And I came behind. And then she came out, and then she said, well, she grabbed the key, she says, come on, let's go get the cops.
I'll make the next call.
Wait just a minute.
We'll make the next call.
Just listen.
No, honey.
These officers just went next door and talked to that side and heard their side of the story. They want to hear your side of the story here.
Perhaps I was wrong.
You did hit him in the back. I did not.
Well, sir, you might as well tell us, because they're not pressing charges on you at this time, and they're willing to be very fair about it. So you have no reason to lie to us in any way, because we're not going to harm you.
Did you push him?
We just want to keep the peace.
Well, that's what I want to do, is keep the peace.
Where have you been drinking tonight, sir?
Beer?
In my home. I never drink any place but my home.
Well, did you lay a hand on him?
I did not lay a hand.
No, he's not there.
Why would they call the police?
Ask the person that is trying to cause trouble.
Well, these officers came down here. They're interested in keeping the peace, keeping people quiet.
Yes.
If they have a return call down here, then they're going to do something about it.
Well, why can't I turn around and make a call and call you gentlemen down
present
here?
Time you're
under the same circumstances.
Present time you're drunk and intoxicated.
I'm in my home.
Doesn't make any difference. You're creating a disturbance.
Yes, sir.
You understand that?
Yes, sir.
That you can't go to jail, despite the fact you're in your own home.
Yes, sir.
So if these officers come down here on a return call, somebody's going to jail.
And is there any time that I cannot call them? At 3 o'clock this morning, tomorrow morning, I'll call. And will you give them the same courtesy that you're giving me?
If they have, you have a legitimate reason to call the police will answer the call.
The words that goes on.
Sir, do you think because they gave you a break, you might give them a break and stay away from there?
Why did they give me a break?
Wait a minute. They're giving you the break. They're not signing a complaint on at this time for assault.
I just assume that they sign a complaint on me, because if they want to dig me, I'll dig them.
Well, you're in no position to do anything at the present time. You're intoxicated. They're not willing. They don't want to sign a complaint. The only thing they want is to be left alone over there. Same respect you people want to be left alone.
There.
Not Daddy.
So you think that you can stay here and keep quiet, and they'll stay over there and keep quiet? Okay?
I will not promise that.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. We come down here again, somebody's going to jail.
And chances are it'll be you, sir, because you're the intoxicated one. The other man.
I'll take a chance on that.
Now.
Controlling man?
Listen, I've been married to him for 23 years.
You just keep it quiet here, and they'll keep it quiet, then everybody will be happy.
Boy. Thank you very much, sir.
Thanks.
Bye.
Heading back now to our radio unit. Situation is pretty well cleared up.
Well, they were sure a couple of big dogs, weren't they?
Yeah. It's the first time I ever wrestled one that outweighed me.
Five, six to control one. Clear on the assault call. Advised. 5-3 has a report.
Control one to 5-6, roger. 5-6, will you meet the captain's unit 5-0 at 3601 Barbara? They have a burglary suspect in custody. Request to contact them at once.
5-6, roger. We're rolling.
You are listening to Night Watch, and following the activities of a detective unit on its tour of duty. Remember, the people and sounds you are hearing are real, and the investigations are recorded in the field as they actually occur. We'll bring you the final results of tonight's action at the conclusion of Night Watch. Can you spare $10 to help feed a family of four for a month? If you can, send it to CARE, together with your name and address and that of some needy relative or friend in Europe or Israel, India, Pakistan, Japan, Okinawa, or the Philippines. CARE will do the rest and guarantees delivery. The address is simply CARE. CARE, New York. CARE is the sure, economical way to send food and clothing abroad. And now we switch you to Detective Unit 5-6, somewhere in the field, and your police recorder, Don Reed.
Moving into the location where one of our units has a burglary suspect in custody. Here's the picture. Uniform car parked at curb. Suspect in the back. Arms behind him. Apparently handcuffed.
They got him in custody over here. Okay, they're going to take him in.
The suspect for a few minutes. He admits breaking into the building, all right, but says he just wanted to use a phone.
I'm going to take him home to the juvenile. I'll have him take him in, and we'll talk to him when we get down to the station.
The suspect is not a juvenile. Moving into the house. Man and wife, victims waiting for us. Captain Lugo checking over a port of the uniformed officer.
Can you tell us what happened?
All we know is when we came to the door, it was bolted, you see. We sent you that lock. And then we heard someone in here, and we could hear him moving in here. Well, he was trying to get this thing down.
Getting
out of the building.
I said, there's somebody in here.
And then we could hear them.
Was he trying to get out of the window when you came in? Is that?
Well, we don't know. He said that he was. The window was open when we came back.
Was he over here by the window trying to get out?
Well, the window was open. We have closed it since.
Well,
and he took this down.
You didn't leave it open yourself.
No.
In other words, he did this himself.
Uh-huh.
Well, the way it stands now, he's been taken to the police station. He's going to be booked for suspicion of burglary, and the investigation will reveal whatever it may.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll just have to take its course.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Fine. Just whatever.
Over next to the windows.
Take these along. Take your burglar tools.
Sergeant Perkins gathering up a bunch of tools used by the suspect to pry open the window. Hammer, screwdriver, crowbar.
Give this to Perkins. The captain wants to check out the address.
Yeah, we'll do. Perk?
Yeah.
Here's the suspect's name and address.
Oh, good. Let's go over and shake his house.
Okay, I'm with you.
You are? Then you won't mind help carry these tools.
Oh, wait a minute. This isn't in my contract.
On this 459 call, we're going over to check out the suspect's house. We hold him in the detention room, and we'll talk to him as soon as we get to the station.
1-5-6-10-4. We'll advise the booking sergeant. KMA 394.
Suspect lives on the second floor. It's a modest apartment building. Number 2. It's this one here on the left-hand side.
Hello. We're from the police department. I think we have your son in jail. Can we come in and talk to you a minute, please?
Let's go in to you.
Mother motioning us in.
We caught him in a building tonight up in Culver City. And we wanted to come down here with your permission, kind of look things over and see if he has anything that he shouldn't have.
You mean him on his own?
Yes, ma'am. You can sit down if you want, ma'am.
I'll be all right. It's very shocking to me.
Certainly it is. And he tells us that he was trying to make a long-distance telephone call to his sister. In this particular case, and he's committed a felony so he can make a telephone call, if his story is...
Well, I have a daughter in New York, of course.
We'd just like to look around if we may. We'd like to have you with us just to see if there's anything here that...
I don't think there is, but you can come along.
We'd like to look at his bedroom more than anything else. I'll explain the situation a little bit. Right next door to us, they've had a number of tests of automobiles. So if there's any automobile parts or anything like that... That's
into the suspect's bedroom.
This is the only bag that he's had. I wouldn't shield my boyfriend when it was me wrong about anything. I'm very much shocked about it. Here's, pardon me.
Sure.
This is his clothes here.
Just the usual assortment. Pretty much routine.
Have your son ever been in any trouble at all?
No, he hasn't. Never. He never has.
Would he, do you suppose he'd have any particular reason for going into this building to make a phone call instead of maybe making it a pay phone or something like that?
I couldn't tell you that. I can't understand why he would do a thing like that. I really can't tell. He might have been trying to get in touch with my girl.
Is there any, your boy is a real pretty truthful and...
He always has been.
How old is he?
He's 25.
25. Thank you very much, ma'am. We're going back to the station and talk to your son. Good night.
In front of me is a two-way mirror. Looking into the interrogation room, Sergeant Perkins is on the phone, running a record check. Suspect is sitting at the desk, nervously trying to light a cigarette. Nice-looking young fellow, crew cut, horn-rimmed glasses. Now let's move on into the office.
That's about all we'll need. Thanks very much. Okay, good night. All right, now let's have a straight story. What were you doing in that building?
I wanted to call back to New York to speak to my sister. Just as I was starting to use the phone, he drove up, and I got nervous and locked the door because I knew I wasn't supposed to be in there.
Did you have permission to go into the building?
No, I didn't.
What were you going to do, make a long-distance call on their phone?
Yes, I was.
Charge it to them?
No, I wasn't.
Well, how were you going to pay for it?
I'd give them the money.
When? In the morning?
No, when I got paid.
Well, do you have an emergency call to make to the
no,
east?
No, I just wanted to speak to my sister.
You have a phone at your house?
I have a phone in my apartment. They didn't even plan Lady's apartment. But she doesn't like people to be using it for long-distance telephone calls.
You had no business in that building, though.
I know I didn't. I know I'll admit that.
Were you going to go out the window?
I was trying to see if I could go.
Do you realize what you've done tonight?
Yes,
I do. You committed a felony just to make a telephone call?
I know I did.
Taking a chance of getting shot?
Yes, I know. It's awful stupid and idiotic.
What disgrace upon your folks?
I know it.
Now on a charge of burglary. The illegal entering of a building without the owner's permission. Do you know what the penalty of burglary calls for?
No, sir, I don't.
Well, section 459 of the Phoenix Code. There's two types of burglary. Burglary in the first degree and in the second degree. First degree is committed by a person armed with a deadly weapon which you were not armed with. And all other types of burglaries are considered as second degree. Burglary in the second degree is punishable by imprisonment in the county jail not exceeding 1 year, or in the state prison for not less than one or more than 15 years. So you stand by making a foolish phone call, you stand to...
Make 15 years, I guess.
It's a long time for a phone call.
What you have just heard is real, recorded as it actually happened on The Night Watch. And now back to police headquarters and Chief W.N. Hildebrand.
As you followed our officers on the tour of Night Watch tonight, you can see the diversified problems that come up in police work. In the first case, for example, two families quarreling was settled by merely advising that a reoccurrence of tonight's events could result in the subjects being arrested. The second investigation, the couple arguing on the street, likewise received a similar warning. In the final case, the suspect trapped in the building. He was booked on suspicion of burglary, which carries a sentence of not less than 5 years in the state prison. However, there were extenuating circumstances which the arresting officers included in their report and which the court took into consideration. The suspect was given a suspended sentence and placed on a 2-year probation. We are recording our investigations as they happen on the night watch to show you a police investigation may turn up the evidence to prove a person guilty, or by the same token may clear a suspect of any complicity with a crime. As a peace officer for 29 years, I've come to one conclusion. Police work is much more enjoyable when you help the innocent than when you prosecute the guilty. I hope in a small way this will help you understand our problems as you ride each week on the Night Watch.
Thank you, Chief Hildebrand. You have been following the on-the-scene reports of your police force in action. Every voice, every sound has been real. Night Watch, brought to you through the cooperation of the Police Department of Culver City, California, is produced by Sterling Tracy and Jim Headlock, with technical advice by Sergeant Ron Perkins, and is described in the field by police recorder Don Reed.